Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
What is going on, Fight for Faithful? Welcome back to another interview here. Not sure where this is going up because we've got a little scheduling thing going on, but I am here today, guys, with the man, the myth, the legend, Simon Miller, man who you'll know from YouTube, from media, and most recently from his very successful start to his pro wrestling career. And how are you doing today, Simon?
I'm good, thanks, man. Yeah, it's a Friday. It's too warm for me personally, which makes me a proper British person. But hey ho, yeah. That makes lots of people happy, and their happiness makes me happy. So we're all good. We're all good.
Well, we're going to just get straight into it, Simon. And the first question I have for you is, when I talked to Jack Moody, I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he started his wrestling career around the same age you did. And he talked about how from the get-go, it was like he was a sponge of knowledge. He wanted to get everything in as fast as possible. And it put a fire under him to get learned quicker, faster than other people would, because, you know, age isn't on the side. Do you feel the same way, kind of feeling where like every single thing that you take in is just like, it's on overdrive almost for because of your late start?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a fair way to look at it. And I think that's a cool way to look at it as well. You know, I think there is a benefit that you always want to get into things as young as possible, right? The best proverb I ever heard was like, the best time to do anything was 10 years ago or right now. Well, yeah. Can't go back in time. So I may as well do it right now. But yeah, it's a great motivator because, especially in wrestling, I mean, it kind of works both ways in wrestling because it is a young man's game. But at the same time, if you can establish yourself, you can go forever, right? You can be 64 years old and still having matches should you build up the right capital in your character and your worth. But yeah, and I was well aware. It was twofold to me. It was absolutely that feeling, let's get some stuff done. But there was also the other side, which was, let's just get it done. Let's just do it. And wherever it goes is where it goes. I just didn't want to be, an 80-year-old man sat on my couch and be like, why didn't you try to, why didn't you just see where it could go? Now, that mentality goes right out the window as soon as you start having matches, because then you want to be in the main event of WrestleMania straight away. But I can be sad about, I'm going to make a big, here's an exclusive for you. It's very unlikely I will ever main event WrestleMania, but I can be sad about that. But at least I won't regret not trying, right? And I think that is that's a really important, and that's what I tell everyone. Everyone always says to me, you know, like, what's the one piece of advice you could give me about getting into wrestling? It's like, just don't regret it. And if that means doing one session and then realizing it's not for me and going to do something else, that's equally as important. So even if you cross it off your list, I don't want to do it. That's great, because you don't have to worry about it anymore. So yeah, but I think he's absolutely correct. Yeah, like, you can't stand on ceremony here, Mr. Wayne. We got to get stuff done because Mother Nature, it's already kicked my ass. Look, I got no hair, yeah. So I don't need other stuff to go as well. Yeah.
And just like with starting late, was there any moments where early on in your training that you kind of felt like this might not be for me? There was a bit of doubt that crept in, maybe just that bit of imposter syndrome that just it can grip you from anywhere. But did you ever experience that? And if you did, how did you kind of push through it?
Well, I live with imposter syndrome every single day. Let's not pretend otherwise. Like, yeah. I'm a walking bucket of imposter syndrome. But no, so actually, I mean, it's an odd answer because it's yes and no. This time, no. But it's actually the third time. I tried twice before to become a wrestler. Both times it was too much for me. And mostly because there was a lot of, I can't do it. I can't. This isn't me. I made a mistake, blah, blah. I mean, there were extenuating circumstances to that as well. But this time it was very much, I'm having a match. I don't care if I hate the whole procedure. I don't care if I'm beaten up. I don't care what it is. I'm having a match, just to say I had a match. And because I walked into it with that mindset, it wasn't even really about, are you good at this? Are you bad at this? Should you be doing it? It was like, that's not the goal. The goal is to have a match. Have you had a match? Nope. Well, you better keep going. But, you know, you go back to the first two times that I tried, and yeah, absolutely. I walked away twice. I mean, that's what I did. I decided it wasn't for me. But, you know, there's that feeling in your stomach where all of a sudden a few months passing, well, maybe it was for me. And then if you still got that, you haven't shut it off properly. But no, absolutely, man. I mean, everything I do in my life, at any time a cool opportunity comes by, before I walk into a room, I'll absolutely be standing or sitting going, what the hell? I'm going to walk in there and they're going to go, it's the wrong bald guy. We didn't mean you. We met a different bald guy. But I think that's good in a way. It's humbling, and it gives you that feeling of being in school again, like that kind of fear of just the world. And they don't get me wrong, there's negative bits to that as well, but I find it overwhelming to be a positive for sure.
And with how your career has gone so far, you've already been in like for 6 years in the industry of wrestling. You have come across and been in the ring with some of the best wrestlers in the world. Has there ever been a time where you've been booked in a match where you've kind of been like, maybe that might be a little soon, but I'm going to give it my all anyway?
I mean, that probably has happened. I mean, the only one that I can think of the top of my head, it didn't really happen like that just because it was a very WWE booked show. But I was it was down in UPW where they booked me as a heel, bless their hearts. Yeah. They saw the evil in me and they let me run wild with it. But yeah, I was in the middle of the ring, and obviously we knew this was going to happen, but until it happened, you can't really process it. And I literally it was a cage match. I'd laid waste to everybody, had a bunch of, again, it's like the end of WrestleMania 40, right? Just nonsense, nonsense, nonsense. When James Storm came out to save the day. And I did have a moment where I'm there going, you know, F you, James Storm, you piece of crap. And I'm like, why am I yelling at TNA's James Storm? Who is another guy who's done everything, right? I mean, I know his NXT stint didn't last long, but he still got there. And all he was going to do was super kick me right in the face. And I remember thinking, Simon, I've seen him super kick a lot of people. If this super kick looks bad, it ain't nothing to do with James Storm. And I remember he hit me with it and I went down. And I was like, I thought I screwed it up because surprise, surprise, I didn't feel anything. And you watch it back and it's the most glorious super kick you've ever seen in your life because he's a super professional. But yeah, no, I remember that for sure. And I mean, to be honest, dude, it happened during my debut. You know, I was very lucky to debut in Defiant, which was essentially WCPW. They changed the name for a bunch of, you know, bureaucratic nonsense we don't need to get into. But, you know, the first person I clotheslined was Mark Haskins, who by that point was a world, you know, he was in there. Doug Williams was in there. Chris Brooks was in there. There'd be other people. I'm not going to stop naming names because I'll forget. And man, dude, I hit them with the worst clotheslines ever because I didn't want to hurt them, right? Well, A, terrified nerves, but also I was like, this is a who's who of the current, especially then, the current British independent wrestling scene. You can't hurt them. And I won't say who it was, but they said it in a very good way. It was a very, like, you know, wasn't like bullying. It was very much, you're part of the team now. One of the people did drag me to one side after that and said, Simon, you ever clothesline me like that again, I will no sell it and I'll beat you up for real. Again, it was done very tongue-in-cheek, but he was saying, dude, you can hit us, it's okay. And I've watched that back a few times. It is painful, but it's your first, you know. I don't
hesitation.
But it's a blessing and a curse. I was blessed to be in that position, but also you'd be much better off having your first match in front of 100 people in a, I don't know, leisure center. That's always a good idea because there's a lot that comes along with it as opposed to doing, hey, I'm going to do it on a streaming service that loads of people watch. But no, I think, I mean, that would happen. Again, I've got a match in August with Danhausen, and I'll feel the same way then. I'll be looking at Danhausen. Why am I wrestling Danhausen? You know, it's just, I think it's important to keep that level of humility. Otherwise, you won't enjoy it. You can't enjoy it. You should always remember that these are cool moments that have sort of sprung along for one reason or another.
And you just mentioned the Danhausen match, and I do want to talk about that a little, especially because you're someone who's been very good at kind of blending both being serious and then also leaning into the silly side, leaning into your catchphrases and so on. But they get over, so I don't blame you in the slightest, but Is that something that you're like you're saying there, that you're kind of worried a little bit? Is it something as well that you're kind of looking forward to? Because it's that wrestling Danhausen is obviously a twofold. First, he's very good at wrestling, period. Then you add in his and then the other side is his comedy act. So I imagine you're excited for both parts of them, but just general thoughts on getting to work with Danhausen.
Absolutely. Like, I do Twitter Q&As here and there, and people would always say to me, what's your realistic dream match? And it was always Orange Cassidy or Danhausen, right? They were things somehow maybe in the universe, you know. You could say Roman Reigns, but, you know, you're shooting there, my man. Yeah. I don't mean that like, you know, bad towards Danhausen or Orange Cassidy, yeah. But it's just the way AEW operates. There is just more opportunities to do that stuff. So, yeah, when it finally happened, and again, UPW, again, this is the cool thing about it. Ain't no one booing Danhausen when he's doing his tour around the country. He's a big star. So another benefit of being the bad guy in UPW is like, literally what you just said, Miller likes being a goof. Miller will do anything, which I will do. I have no shame whatsoever. It just makes sense. And I think that the combination of the goofy and the silly, that this is where I owe a lot to everything that I got to do in YouTube. Because if you go back and watch my first YouTube videos, I mean, they're bad. I don't like the word bad. They're green and they're amateurish because I'm still finding my way. But they're also very much me trying to be whoever I thought that person should have been. Again, that sounds way too over the top. But eventually, it's the same with you as well. And eventually you just find, well, who actually am I as a person that I want to paste onto this canvas? And it didn't surprise me hugely to go, oh, you're an idiot. I'm just a moron. I just am. So in wrestling, where you have all this creativity, look, I've done some real serious angles and it's awesome, but they've always been peppered with, well, we can do this and it'll be funny, and we can do this and it'll be silly. And I like to think that's one of the reasons why my stuff does connect, or I hope it does, because I think deep down everyone's a little bit of a moron. And if you are happy to send yourself up, then yeah, I just think it humanizes you a little bit. So yeah, it's absolutely the reason I'm excited about the Danhausen match. Because A, he'll come with a bunch of incredible ideas, but there's more chance of me saying, you know, I got one. I won't say it here. I should message him really and make sure he's cool with it. It is so ridiculous. And I pitched it to UPW and they said, look, we would love you to do that as long as you're happy with it. But we have to check with him, of course, because yeah, that's respect. So if he lets me do that, well, I'll make sure I send it to you when it gets greenlit. But it's utterly, utterly stupid. But the way I look at it, like, it makes me laugh. Right, yeah, it makes me laugh. Surely it makes one other person laugh. That's what Ricky and Gervais and Stephen Merchant used to say. We just make each other laugh, and then we go, well, I guess somebody else will laugh at it too. So, yeah, I would never want to get rid of either aspect. I think it would be disingenuous too. I think people would see right through it.
And you mentioned it there, finding your footing on YouTube and so on and so forth, but now you're juggling both, and you've been juggling both for quite a while now. Has there been ever a point where it overwhelmed you? Because obviously you're in two different realms of the wrestling industry, like, and there's a lot that comes with both of them, a lot of stress, a lot of just attention, so on and so forth. Was there ever a time where you had to sit down and think to yourself, can I do both of these? Do I have to give one of these up? Or was it just...
It's a good question. I mean, there have been times where I've been overwhelmed by it how the hell am I going to squeeze all this in point of view? But no, I never thought about taking myself out of the game, just because I kind of set up a lot of rules for myself quite early on, not intentionally, just by how I felt. And my thing was always, we don't take away, we add. That's my big thing. So there's an opportunity, well, I'll just do it. There's an opportunity, let's do it. We'll stack things up. So what really ties into is coming out of the pandemic, I decided, oh, I think I want to be an actor now. Well, because I was just sat around doing nothing, and I thought, what would you really regret not going after? And I decided acting was the way. So I made a promise to myself, we're going to do acting. Now, actually, once the world opened up and wrestling was there again, I think I would have just left it, but that's not how my brain works. So I did that, and I quite enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot, to be honest. So I thought, I'll fit that in. The reason I'm telling this story is it ties into, I think it was October last year, where it was October. I know it was October last year because it ended with my match against everyone's favorite wrestler right now, Joe Hendry, at the TNA pay-per-view. So no one knows this. Within that 2 weeks, not only was I flying up and down to Newcastle, because I'm based down south, to film things with Joe, I was also making sure I'm getting all my content doing. I also flew to Ireland and back for a wrestling booking. And I was also recording, I was also filming. It was a tiny, tiny role. I had one line, but I was also filming an independent movie. And I got to the end of this 2.5 week stint, and my girlfriend looked at me and she went, "I actually think you're dying," because my face was just, I took several pictures the other day. No one would notice at the time, but if you compared a healthy version to clearly put you like you do, you need to. Yeah. And so that does happen every now and then. And you know this. People think the content game is just, oh, you say some things and it magically appears on the internet. No, it's so, the stuff you don't see is the hardest part. That's what takes up all your time. So, you know, there's no point pretending otherwise. Sometimes I'm late to shows. I mean, luckily, I usually get booked on a show because of the What Culture stuff. No one thinks Will Ospreay's coming through the door. So that does help because they go, okay, well, we understand it ties in. But no, yeah, there's definitely been times where you're like, this is a lot. But I'll be honest with you, man. In those moments, apart from the times where you just need sleep and you need sustenance, my overwhelming filming has always been, isn't it flipping cool that I have all this stuff I can throw myself into? It's always my gut thing. And when that hits me, I'm like, man, you can keep going, bro. You can keep going. Eventually, it's going to calm down. So you just keep pushing through. So the other question I always get in those Q&As I mentioned is, if X happened, would you give up YouTube? And of course, there's a scenario where I would. Because it would just mean, well, I can't say no to that. We have to go fill in. But until that happens, man, just keep bringing on these opportunities and I'll keep doing them to the best of my ability and being super gracious that anybody would even think of me to begin with.
Absolutely, man. And you mentioned it there, and I was going to have to ask you about them because obviously, as you said, talking to wrestling world now, you did wrestle them at the TNA pay-per-view. Joe Hendry, you're both kind of in that same kind of realm in the British scene of just having that comedy aspect, but both being great belt-to-belt workers as well. What's the process like working with Joe? Because as we all know, he does get very scathing when he wants to be. So just a little background on getting to work with Joe Hendry.
Yeah, look, I owe Joe a lot for that opportunity, right? We were coming in, TNA was coming in to the UK. They were working Newcastle, which is like What Culture HQ. And he had this idea. And he was like, wouldn't it be great if, you know, we could bring these two worlds together? And I'm totally breaking what I said I'd never break now, but I have a feeling he's going to do all right regardless. So I think we could talk about it. But like the way that it all kind of kicked off is we played it for as it was real, right? That's when I flew up there and we had this big thing in the What Culture offices where, you know, we filmed it in the sense we wanted it to, and we did a bunch of DMs and stuff. We wanted it to come across as real. But we assume most people would be like, well, yeah. But no. What happened is everybody thought it was real. And I was getting DMs from wrestlers and promoters going, why are you falling out with Joe Hendry? And because we both promised not to say anything, I was like, I don't know, man, guy's out of control. And then I can't remember what happened. Now, then we dropped something and it was obvious, like, well, it's not real. Yeah. I think it was probably the graphic. Like Impact TNA aren't going to go, oh yeah, let these two proper people fight in a wrestling ring. So that's when I think people got it. But I think because of that, we actually sort of, again, he's the master of the internet, right? I like to think I've got my own little place in that too. So I think these two audiences coming together, we create a nice little niche for ourselves. And that was, again, Joe didn't have to offer me that opportunity, but we did. And we went there and again, as an absolute ball. Like I was told to go out there and, you know, be a bad guy and... I think most people assumed that I'm Simon Miller, happy smiley guy on YouTube. He just wants to be the good guy. I was like, no, I want to be the dickhead. Of course I do. So that was awesome because I got to do some promo time. And again, it was a proper old school. That's what I was told to do, right? Yes, sir, no, sir. And everyone was really complimentary about that too. So that was nice. You know, you got who's who of wrestling back there, and they're going, oh man, yeah. You know, way to get your home turf to boo you. And then it was just great. And while I always like to make sure I phrase this the right way. I'm not surprised that Joe has got the traction that he has got, but I also am because I like to think he's hit such a level that he deserves that kind of praise too. Do you know, you know what I mean? Like, it's like when The Rock first got into movies. Oh, of course he could get into movies. He becomes the biggest movie star ever. You're like, wait, what? How did that happen?
I get what you mean. So you're basically saying that Joe kind of like you expected him to get popular. You didn't expect him to get this popular, is basically what you're saying.
Yeah, I knew that he'd make it to wherever the hell he wanted to.
Hey guys, I'm here to tell you about Incogni.com/Fightful Wrestling. There are some strange people out there, some shady people out there, And a lot of times you struggle with your own data privacy. I've had those struggles myself in the past. And it is unfortunately way too easy to look someone up and get their personal info. Sometimes you sign up for a loyalty card or a membership online, and the next thing you know, you've got a bunch of emails, a bunch of calls, because somebody has sold your data. For example, Incogni found over 200 brokers with my information. Those brokers are required to remove your name if you ask them, and you might say, man, I don't have the time to do that. Incogni.com/Fightful does, and they'll make sure it happens. Not only that, I had people signing me up for physical and digital spam emails. Incogni.com/Fightful Wrestling fixed all of that. And that's just one of the many benefits of Incogni.com/Fightful Wrestling. Criminals do not care about the rules associated with those websites, so take it into your own hands. Incogni.com/Fightful Wrestling. You just create an account, grant them the right to do the work for you, then kick back and watch them work. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Prime Day is coming July 16th and 17th with epic deals exclusively for Prime members. You'll feel like you just won an award.
Oh, wow. I didn't even prepare a speech. I'd like to thank my family for always needing stuff. Also, Sam, my delivery guy, for bringing all my awesome deals so fast. You're the man, Sam!
Shop deals on electronics, home, and more this Prime Day, July 16th and 17th.
Make it. I did not think he'd have the fourth most watched WWE social clip of 2024. But again, I mean that as a compliment. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, like, of course he was going to do that, because that's how he sees things. So yeah, like, just all the best to him. You know, when he walked out of NXT, I was like 3 a.m. I popped my socks off. I was like, there you go. You get him, Joe. And you know, and he's been doing this. Like I say, when I debuted in that Defiant match, I won't tell that story because I don't think it's fair, but he was another guy that took me to one side, and he gave me some damn good advice. Like, really, really good advice. And I'd put my foot in it by accident. He didn't know me, apart from that. Okay, it's one of the guys that makes videos. And he went out of his way to say, Simon, I would maybe approach this in a different way. I know it's an accident, but, you know. So, yeah, you know, like, it's not just that he has earned it from, you know, everything he's put into wrestling, but it's the stuff he's done outside of wrestling too. So, yeah, I feel, given that we're in June now, so that was October, like six, seven months ago, I think it's cool that I'm going to pretend that I was the guy that launched him, which isn't the true at all. He probably did more for me, to be completely honest. But hey-ho, we take what we can.
Got to do what you got to do in this industry, I tell you that much.
That's right. That's right.
But so we're going to move on to a topic that obviously that put you in down the dumps a little recently, was your recent injury that took you out of Super Strong Style 16. Yeah. And from what when I was talking to Progress and so on about you being pulled from, just everyone was saying how gutted you were. But I just want to know just like what went into that injury, what caused it, if you're comfortable sharing that. Just what was the process being pulled from the tournament? Like,
so I mean, look, it's a good story and it's a bad story, like all my stories. But the reason I was injured is because leading into Super Strong Style, I got to tour America for 2 months as part of the last match pro wrestling rock and roll musical experience, right? Because some evil geniuses in a lab had concocted up this thing where it's a play, but it's a wrestling show, and it's got songs, and it's the coolest thing ever done. Like, it really, really is. Yeah. Like, Matt Cardona was in the original one a couple of years ago. He was an executive producer on this one, so I got to talk to Matt Cardona for a while, which is always a treat. And essentially what happened was, just because it was quite a labor-intensive schedule, because you're performing here, you get in a bus, you go to the next place, you get in a bus, you're driving. Because I hadn't been injured in probably, I'd say, 4+ years, especially not since the pandemic, of course, what happened is, one of the first shows, I took a bump and I just jarred my shoulder a little bit. Now, if this had been normal life, I would have taken a week off. I wouldn't have gone to the gym. I would have iced, blah, blah, blah. But I was like, well, no, I'm not allowing these shows. I'm doing these shows, man. I'm a
show must go on.
Exactly. So, if you've already sort of got a tweak, you'll be amazed to hear this, Corey. If you've got a tweak and then you bump on that shoulder for literally, it's like a month constant, literally, one day off, one day off, one day off, one day off. What happens is it gets worse and it gets worse and it gets worse. Now, my thing was, at the end of that, ironically, during the last match of the tour, my arm still worked. I still had complete rotation. And don't get me wrong, to be completely honest, those last 2 weeks, man, I was icing and I was going to like physiotherapists, I was stretching. My whole being was just keep this shoulder going. So I didn't want to give up this opportunity. And because I want to be ready for Strong Style. So I got home on a Sunday. Strong Style was the following Sunday. And I went to my physiotherapist who, you're a wrestler. It makes sense to have a physiotherapist, right?
Yeah.
Especially as you get older. It's just part of the job. I think most people should be doing that. And she she started going over it. And I was like, I'm amazed I have range of motion. And she said, I tell you why you have range of motion. Because you're the luckiest man that's ever walked in. She said, it's like a balloon. Because imagine you filled up a balloon with water and you kept throwing it on the floor. Because that is what your shoulder is like. She said, essentially what you've done is, I can't remember all the names, but your rotator cuff tendons. You've got your supraspinatus, you've got your subscalaris, you've got your interscapular or whatever. You've literally hurt every single one of them. But because of the rehab you were doing and because you understand your body and you know what you can and can't get away with, when one has kind of got worn out, your body's going to get around the other one. Then that one got worn out around the other one. And this is where the progress flip of a coin came in. Because she was like, I'm not going to tell you you shouldn't do it. I am going to tell you you're walking the tightrope right now. Like, you could take 10 more bumps. Surprisingly, she didn't say bumps, but we'll say bumps for the process of this thing. You could take 10 more bumps and you could be fine. You could take one bump, the whole thing could go and you're going to need surgery. Because I have to tell you the truth. So, again, that was a Tuesday. I sat on it for 48 hours, hoping that magically it would start getting better. I then went to see somebody else that was a friend of mine, second opinion. They said exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
And then, I rang them on the Thursday, and man, poor people. Because I didn't just get a phone call, or it was a Zoom call, where I was like, I can't do it. It was, here are my 32,796 ways that we can do it and we can make this work for the story I know that you want, I want to tell. And literally, man, I won't go into them in case we go back to it. And bless their hearts, they did take them under advisement and they went back. And because they're an awesomely run company, they came back and they said, Simon, here's the plans where we were going with this anyway. We can still get there without you being in super strong style. No one's going to hold this against you. And the last thing we want, especially over that weekend, which is meant to be a fun, exciting, WrestleMania type, independent weekend, is for somebody to get hurt. And so they said, we really just don't think you should do it. Even more so, and I said this to him as well, because my match was against Ricky Knight Jr., which I was so excited about. That is such a cool person to test yourself against. Can I help? Can I live up to that guy? I didn't want that, not that he would have done, but I didn't want anything to happen and him feel like he had been responsible, because he wouldn't have been. But also, two, the point of having that match is to match his intensity and to match his fire and whatever the words you want to use. Right? He's a flipping warrior in there. And even if I had taken one bump and it had gone, what happens is you start to hesitate. And when you hesitate, the match just falls apart. So, once they told me what my plans were for the rest of the year and that we could still get there regardless, you just listen to your gut, and I just knew it was the right thing to do. But that's why I'd come up with all these like fail safes. What about this? What about this? What about this? But it was, I'm not gonna look, that Friday when it was all sort of basically sorted, it was awful, because again, I always set goals for myself, and when Progress hired me as the host, my goal internally was, well, I'm going to do this host job to the best of my ability, but eventually I'm going to stick my toe in, I'm going to get over there, I'm going to wrestle some matches, I'm going to get super strong style. Not win it. Again, we take baby steps. And so when they told me they were doing it, man, especially because I'm ranting now, but it's so true. But this is just how life works, right? Ironically, ups and downs. I'm so excited about doing this 2 months in America. That's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for me. Then coming in, having a week, see my friends, see my family, see my girlfriend, and then go into Strong Style. I was like, you've made it, Simon. You've made it. You've done it. It's the greatest moment of your life. And then surprise, surprise, something came along. So the fact that we're now like a month removed or whatever it is, totally the right decision. Totally the right decision. There have been some tough old days where just through the rehab process, you're like, man, thank goodness I didn't take the chance. But it was still, yeah, in terms of the one of the worst things that happened in wrestling in a while, that was it. Like there were some days when I woke up and I just felt like, well, I just felt pants. You know what I mean? You can't help it. And Bless Progress was still letting me be involved in that weekend. Like they didn't have to do that, but they did. And again, the good side for any Progress fans watching or listening is or reading is it's all gonna work out okay. The idea is that we've got a super cool and I'd far rather be back in the mix. Again, I should be back in the mix in sort of a couple of weeks or so than right now be talking to you with my arm in a sling, waiting for surgery. Nobody wants that. So, yeah, it sucked, but these things are meant to try us. Let's hope it's one of those things where you look back in hindsight and go, well, it was a blessing in disguise.
And, like, you've mentioned it there a bunch of times, how good it's been to work with Progress on it, how understanding they've been. You've really found a home for yourself in Progress since the turn of the year, really. You had that incredible match with Tate as well, which just blew a lot of people away, myself included. But what's that been like overall working with Progress? Do you feel like it's becoming your home as much as it seems like it's the outside?
I mean, I've never looked at it like that before. But the support of the Progress crowd gets me every time. Like I said to the guys, I said, can I cut a promo just explaining to everyone? I said, of course, like we'd never let you do that. And I was convinced I was going to come out and I was going to be like, oh, typical Simon Miller. I was like, you know, of course you weren't able to make it. But actually what happened is because they set it up, you know, this person wants to come out and say sorry, or who's it going to be? Again, you need to pro wrestling these things a little bit. Yeah. And then when my music hit, I was backstage, I was genuinely floored that the reaction, I could hear it in people's voice, actually disappointed. You actually heard, oh, no. And that really got me. And I was like, I felt it in my face. It's like, Sam, you can't go out there crying. At least cry when you're in the ring. Don't cry.
Yeah.
You're walking. You have to
save it for the cameras.
Exactly, right? What idiot, you come out, oh, I'm so sad. But and then everyone came up and said nice words. And listen, it's the same with the, you know, that Tate match. That Tate match was the end of a trilogy. And if we go through the wins, the win-loss record, I lost. Now, that's a risky strategy to take. And yet at the end of all that, people still coming up to me going, man, you'll get him next. Genuinely, you'll get him next time, Simon. You'll get him next time, Simon, that damn Tate. People are so nice to me there and they support me to such a degree. It genuinely does. It humbles me like hell. So actually, I think in a way, yeah, I probably do see it like that, even if it's subconsciously, because when I go there, I feel like I can be unashamedly myself. And I remember before I did my first hosting gig, I had two different, I bullet point my promos, but I had two different versions in my head. One of which was, all right, they hate you because you're the YouTube guy. And I had some zingers to throw out there. And the other one was just, oh, sweet. They're all good with it. And it's always been the other way. They've always liked the stuff. If I accidentally say, you know, a word that ties into the show, they start chanting it, which I deliberately tried to stay away from that stuff because I totally understood my role as the host was just to be a conduit. But you can't help but love it. It was awesome. And yeah, ever since then, they've just been so behind me. And it's the same for management too and the creative team. So yeah, actually, now you've said it, I do feel that. And that's cool. Because, you know, Progress are, they're a cornerstone of the British wrestling scene. And somebody once did tell me when I first started, Simon, Progress ain't ever going to book a YouTuber. And I was like, I'll show you, Mother Hubbard. And here we are. So, yeah, no, it's a cool place to work for sure.
And you just mentioned it there, like people kind of like doubting you from your background because of it. And obviously starting late and so on. Has that felt like a running theme in your career so far in the ring, just proving people wrong over and over again?
Oh, early on, yeah. Oh, yeah, seriously. Once I'm out for good, I'll tell all the stories. Man, I will shout like a convict. But
you.
Honestly, there's some names I could drop, but it's not their fault. I get it, right? They didn't know what my training was. It's just like, I assume they thought, oh, here comes the YouTuber. Thinks he can just come in. Not that I'd gone out there and tried to treat it respectfully. Dude, at first, because at first I started taking Defiant bookings And then it's like starting a new job. How do you get a wrestling booking? I don't know. So I got some advice and stuff. When I tried to get some wrestling bookings, I couldn't even get the conversation started because people thought I was going to be asking for like hundreds of pounds. And I was like, no, you pay me based on my experience as a wrestler. Now, as we all know, in independent wrestling, it's a hot dog and a handshake. Right?
Yeah.
But I said, that's what I will take. Like, I would never, ever in a million years expect to be treated any... No, I mean, it's not like... Look, if I'm Brad Pitt, treat me differently. I'm not, right? I've got this cool side of my life that I'm able to utilize going into this side of my life, but you treat me like a nude wrestler. That took so long. And there were a bunch of wrestlers, again, that I had to win over. But then again, dude, when you do win them over, that's the coolest thing ever. I think eventually people got to the point, oh, he does care and he does want to try hard. And this isn't just like a ha-ha to him. Like, he's really being serious about it. And when that did click for, you know, certain people that do have, like I say, names, it just... It makes the journey, as people say, it makes it even sweeter, right? Because you're like, oh, cool, I've won these people over and now they understand where I'm coming from and they're giving me advice. So, but yeah, no, yeah, one day we got to write the book on that. There was a good 2 years from the start of my career where every locker room, I was like, I'm 7 years old back at school. I hate it. But again, you double down and you're like, we can get through it. We can get through it. And hey, it worked. So that's cool. I'm sure there's still one person out there still like flipping YouTuber. Everybody cuts it in a promo. Every comer, here comes the YouTuber. It makes me laugh. So it's fine.
And I have one more question for you, Simon, before I do let you go. So coming back from this injury, you're probably feeling like you got to make up for some lost time. Obviously, it's not much time, but at this stage of your career, of course, every month counts. What are your goals for the rest of this year? Obviously, you've got that Danhausen match that's massive, but is there anything else that you're hoping to be involved in? Maybe we might see you as a bit of security on All In. Who knows?
Well, I got to do that last year. I'll do a round two, man. I'll be thrown into the barricade by Powerhouse Will Hobbs. That was a good day for me.
Yeah.
So... Absolutely, the Danhausen thing at UPW on August the 8th is up there. The progress plan throughout the summer is super cool. I mean, I can say this. You know, I got kicked right in the balls during Super Strong Style Weekender. Not going to let that go. So we got to go sort that out too. And then, yeah, moving into the second half of the year, very, very coolly, is just a lot of overseas bookings. Because I got my US visa now. I should be sorting out my social security number next week. How that's become a thing, I don't know. So, yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Still going to be working over the UK. But there's one booking, especially in September, that I'm super excited about. And as soon as we can announce that, that's going to be really, really fun. But, yeah, that's kind of my goal. My goal sort of last year was just get wrestle. You know, get booking. And it's a bit more specific this year. It's sort of get better, of course. But try and hit whatever my ceiling is at the moment, hit that ceiling, and then we'll go up to the next floor. So, yeah, absolutely. You know, as many British dates as I can do, but then certainly from August 1 just got moved. So we'll just say certainly from September, America, Canada, I'm going to be there a lot, which is I'm really excited about it because I never thought that would be the direction I did go in. But now that I do have this... Well, legality, I suppose, is the only way to put it, where I can do it and no one can get mad at me. I've come up with this sort of small plan and, yeah, hopefully it sort of means, again, I don't give too much away, but hopefully it means the start of next year I should be based there much more than I ever have been. And not in my, again, I mean this, not in my wildest dreams that I ever think I could say, oh, I may get to live in America for 6 weeks. Do a bunch of wrestling and stuff and some other stuff on the side that I can't even talk about right now. So that is absolutely... You know, my plan, and it's also been good. You know, the last 6 weeks has sucked. The last month, really. It's not even 6 weeks. The last month has sucked, but I like to think maybe it was just an enforced rest. Yeah. And then I hope to be back in the ring sort of next week or so. And then, yeah, we'll run this body into the ground over the next few years, and then we'll walk off into the sunset and write the book. And we're done. And then we can see where we got to.
And Simon, before I do send you off, I do want to say this. I've started to report on British wrestling news. I'm sure you've seen a couple of times.
Oh, yeah.
So I do want to say this. You're definitely becoming someone that everyone is looking out for. Because every time I say, oh, British wrestling news is coming, Simon Miller, Simon Miller, Simon Miller, Simon Miller. Is it about Simon? If it's not about Simon, we don't care. So you've got the attention. I've noticed it. Trust me. And somehow, guys, if you're not, I'm going to ask Simon here to let you guys know where to follow him on social media. Somehow, if you are not aware of Simon in the wrestling sphere, so Simon, take that away.
Well, I want to say thank you for that first, because that's still super cool to hear. The fact that people care, that's all wrestling is. Do you care? So the fact that people care is awesome. Otherwise, very depressingly, my social media is Simon of 316. I say this on every interview I do. No, back in 2007, I wouldn't have put 316 on my name had I known what my future held. I was working in video games. I didn't understand what Twitter was. My friend John said, are you just up to this Twitter thing? I was like, well, I just say what I want. I don't get it. But hey ho, here we are now. There's no going back, right? Because that's just people search for. Otherwise, yeah, you check out What Culture, of course. Also, check out my own channel, Simon Miller. Basically, I'm very blessed these days. You can search for my name on Google. And much like Joe Hendry, I will appear. So, yeah, if anyone could do that. And listen, if you want to book me on a wrestling show, I ain't that expensive. Just make sure you use my book. People still think I am. Listen, I understand. I like to think I understand business, right? It has to be. It has to work for both parties. Otherwise, what's the point? I don't want to take money out of a promoter's pocket. So, yeah, I'm absolutely going to love to come in and just do as many bookings as possible, for sure.
And again, Simon, thank you so much. Guys, if you are new to wherever this is, we're going to try and cover it. So if it's on the Fightful main channel, Fightful Overbooked, or if it's on Fightful Select, subscribe, come back. Make sure to keep coming back for more interviews. Going to be doing a lot more of them. And, thanks, guys. See you next time.